This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right, we have Rajiv Batra, Chief Southeast Asia Strategist of JP Morgan India on the line. Good morning, Rajiv. ASEAN equity markets have underperformed compared to other developed North Asian markets on a year-to-date basis, with foreign ownership coming close to all-time lows. What is your view on this, and why are ASEAN markets so unloved?
So ASEAN equities rebounded quite sharply from October 2018 lows, and markets like Indonesia and Philippines were the best performers in emerging markets till early January this year. ASEAN equities lost momentum over the last 2 months, driven by a combination of factors like profit-taking, election overhang, global growth worries, which was triggered by ECB dovish pivot, and Chinese equities rebound, led by stimulus, have put the brakes on the ASEAN rally. The way forward, we believe, is likely to be driven by the underlying fundamentals of each ASEAN market. The key drivers of the next phase of rally, in our view, are accommodative monetary policy stance by G4 central bank, USD peaking, policy direction in ASEAN countries like reforms and monetary policy, lower inflation, narrowing gap, stable earnings growth, stable oil prices, and finally supply chain shifting to EM ASEAN.
So, Rajiv, which markets are you overweight and underweight on, and why? So, specifically for Malaysia as well, what are the issues facing the equity markets, and what would cause a positive re-rating with foreign investors?
So, in case of our asset allocation stance, we are overweight on Indonesia and we are underweight on Malaysia. We have neutral on Philippines, Thailand, and Singapore. We are constructive on Indonesia, driven by firming private consumption, narrowing gap, lower inflation, and the accommodative stance on global monetary policy. While the one-month outlook is binary based on election outcome, we think cost of missing out on potential rally in Indonesia currently outweighs the risk right now. So in case of Malaysia, we believe the performance is constrained by the potential flux in capex play and the government-linked stock. Fiscal deficit slipped to 3.4% Y-on-Y in 2019 to support consumption growth were the key reasons which were the drag on the markets overall. Now, what could lead to re-rating into the Philippines, to Malaysian markets over there? So if investors evaluate a change for the better governance and the policy orientation, this could develop into a meaningful opportunity into the Malaysian equity market. Whereas in case of Philippines, Thailand, and Singapore, starting with the Philippines, we see the downside risk to the consensus earning growth expectation of 13.8% because of higher rates and the slowdown in GDP, which puts pressure on corporate top line as well as margin. In case of Thailand, growth expectation for this year remain moderate, driven by higher base, especially exports and tourism, which are facing risk of global economic slowdown and declining flow of Chinese tourists. In case of Singapore, because of a weak tech demand and softening domestic demand, we believe it will impact the growth outlook. And our economic team is forecasting slowdown in GDP growth from 3.2% last year to 2% in 2019.
Now, Rajiv, in your view, do you think ASEAN countries will be affected more by their own internal issues like elections and soft macroeconomic data, or will they be more affected by the external uncertainties like the US-China trade war and synchronized global deceleration?
So we are looking at idiosyncratic vulnerabilities for ASEAN countries, including excessive policy tightening, higher than expected inflation, policy uncertainty, lackluster domestic demand, earnings disappointment, or a widening of a twin deficit, particularly for economies like Philippines and Indonesia over there. But yes, as you have rightly mentioned, global risk factors are going to also have a say over here, because right now the rebound which we have saw in market was largely led by, again, a dovish shift by the G4 central bank, as well as the temporary truce happening between US and China. So if there's a late cycle risk for the U.S. economy, or you can say that there is again some trade tension building up between the U.S. and China, or geopolitical risk due to the trade protectionism or populism start resurfacing, it can affect the investor sentiment into the ASEAN markets too.
And with recent softness in emerging markets like Turkey and Argentina, is there a risk of history repeating itself? So like when there was a significant outflow from these markets, which spread to ASEAN in August and September of last year?
So as I've said earlier in the first question, one of the key drivers for the next phase of the rally would be the accommodative monetary policy stance by the G4 central bank. Note, last year when the sell-off happened, it was particularly driven by liquidity, global liquidity getting squeezed, and Fed giving the direction for more tightening over there. Even other central banks were also shifting towards more tightening tone. Right now, start of this year, we are seeing the central banks are starting more dovish. Banks like PBOC is giving stimulus and supporting the markets over there at such. So the chances of that kind of a sell-off repeat happening this year looks pretty low to me. And hence, we remain positive on ASEAN markets, and where we are playing it through is being overweight on Indonesia.
And that was Rajiv Batra of JP Morgan India. All right, so we'll be back with more stock market news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.